Hey friends, wanted to thank you for bearing with me while I'm getting caught back up on the campfire editing. We've got a bunch of episodes in the can, I just haven't had a chance to turn them into episodes, rather than try and rush too much stuff out, and while also doing the side stuff that I wanted to work on for a side quest during the month of November, we'll have new episodes of Campfire in beginning of December. Side quest, for those who aren't familiar, it's happening right now. It is an opportunity for indie RPG developers to put their games out on Kickstarter and Itch and other crowdfunding platforms to try and get their games made into the standards that they want them to be. One of those games, or at least one of the games that I'm playing during the month of November, is Era of Silence. That's the episode that you are about to listen to. It is a great game. It is right up your alley if you're into like old school sort of RPGs along the lines of Fallout, Fallout 2, like that kind of, those kinds of mechanics and those kinds of universes. Definitely enjoyed playing this one. We talk a little bit more about it at the end of episode 2. I am partly taking this opportunity because that's something I really want to do with this podcast, is celebrate indie RPGs, and what better way to do them than to play as many of them as possible. We'll get back to Sleepaway because we are having an absolute blast with it, but in the meantime, definitely enjoy parts 1 and 2 of Era of Silence, 10 minutes to North Point Station. Welcome to The Roll Less Taken. We have a special couple of guests again today, so let me start by saying who I am. I'm Graham. I use he and they pronouns. And I am joined by some folks from an upcoming Kickstarter.
Hi. So I am Robin B, and I am joined by my associate.
Hello, I am Dan. He, him.
Yeah, yes, and I'm she, her. We are two, we're the founding members, the two of us, of Shrike Tabletop, a tabletop game development studio that's been around for a couple years. Our big thing is we're working on a game called Era of Silence, which is what we're going to be playing today. We are promoting our Kickstarter, which is coming out November 9th, 2021. And you'll see it's a chemi-punk action RPG, so think like, you know, alchemical future fantasy. And yeah, we're super jazzed to be here.
Awesome. I am also joined by two folks who y'all will recognize from Sleepaway.
Hey, I'm Em. I'm back, and I use they, them pronouns.
Hey, Mickey here. I also use they, them pronouns.
All right. So tell us all about Era of Silence. Start on page one, and we'll take notes.
Okay. So Era... page one is... Well, page one is the text crawl, the in the grim darkness of the far future, but for our own purposes, it's like, but yeah, legitimately, like the game is a tactical combat focused, like traditional simulationist RPG, kind of in the vein of like, you know, D&D, Pathfinder, Savage Worlds is my favorite. And I think if you read Savage Worlds, you'll see a lot of influences on us. And like how we constructed the bones of the game. Dan and I had the idea for a dice system in 2019, was it, Dan?
That sounds right, yeah.
2019? Yeah, and we started working on this game built on a dice system that Dan wrote. Dan, do you want me to explain it, or would you like to?
Well, I was struck with inspiration while sitting outside a particularly boring seminar at the American Geophysical Union. the idea that for most dice systems, as you get better, you can only scale up linearly. So if you're better at something, it doesn't matter what the difficulty is, you are always better than someone who's less skilled. And I started to wonder, would it be possible to put together a dice system where that's not the case, where one person might be very good at the easier side of a certain skill, while another person is better at doing harder things? Like the go-to example is always one character may be your go-to for negotiating bread prices, whereas you wouldn't want them to be begging for your lives from the Dark Lord. And so with our dice system, which involves rolling multiple polyhedral dice and choosing the lowest, for example, roll 3d8 and pick the lowest result. And in this case, lower values are good. The lower a target number, the harder it is to beat. You get exactly that I was saying. You get a curved progress, which can overlap so that different players can dominate the same skill in different difficulty regimes.
And in playtesting, we've seen that work amazingly. Alongside that, we have a modular character creation system, which, while taking an average of 20 minutes to build a character, in fairness, if you know the system, I'd say 40 minutes to an hour, if not, you can build one of like 15,000 possible combinations. And that's not counting the point by steps, which aren't hard to understand at all. Alongside that, we also have modular gear and a rapid tactical combat system that can, in like 30 minutes, do what would take an hour in another RPG.
I will say I put a character together before this, and it was really cool to just kind of like, as I snapped different pieces of the modules in, I got like a really cool clear picture of what I wanted my character to be, and that was a cool experience.
Yeah, my go-to example for that is like the wizard in power armor, which is a playable build. You pick magic and engineer, and then close combat probably, and We break down classes into more or less three steps that I can't legitimately say we're classless, but you can, someone shouldn't ever have to give up something they want to play to pick something else they want to play.
Hmm.
You know, wanting to be good at stealth shouldn't preclude you from also being really good with a wrench. And being able to like mix and match classes so that you're more, not broad, but like, you know, we've made a system that doesn't necessarily encourage hyper-specialization, which I think is very common of RPGs of the format.
Hmm.
Anyway, that's the elevator pitch. Ding. Oh, the world. I guess I should talk about the world a bit, but
yeah,
we'll also get into it. The setting is a chemipunk RPG. I said chemipunk. The word, we mean like alchemically focused future fantasy. And then with the like necessary themes of like, you know, anti-capitalism and anti-fascism that like are requisite of the dash punk genre. The world of Vian is a world abandoned by its gods. 1,000 years ago, there was this global theocracy called the Divine Empire that ruled over everything. There was no doubt the gods were there. They literally ruled through their prophets. And the this like global machine functioned until just suddenly the gods stopped talking 1,000 years ago and fuck off, disappear, their prophets die. And the mortals of the world of Vian are left to fend for themselves. Then 600 years later, it looks like people are recovering. There's this empire that's like mastered alchemy. But then the world gets a couple major natural disasters destroy the climate of Vian. And now 1,000 years after the silence in the year 1010, most of the world's surface isn't breathable without like assistance. However, society isn't like doomed. It's survived thanks to the harnessing of this futuristic alchemy and, you know, working together as people do. And society, it's recovering. It's going back to some kind of normal. At the same time, there's a lot of, you know, tense stuff politically. And you're going to see there was a major civil war in the current country you're in, Austell, that led to the rise of currently a fascist regime. So that's the world. I have just a quick trigger warning to throw out there, if that's okay.
Yeah, go for it.
So anyone listening, just kind of, you can't really avoid it with the setting. Trigger warning for violence, body horror, institutional bigotry, drugs, fungus, and blood and gore. With that, I'm good to start the module.
Cool. Like, quickly, does anybody else have anything they want to kind of add to, like, anything they want to kind of, like, line or veil?
I would say line any sexual assault.
Cool.
Appreciated. I have never had the impulse to include any of that in my games, but
you know, I always say it just to be safe.
Yeah.
Right.
No, not to invalid, the line's perfectly valid to draw. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm pretty good.
Did you have something, Mickey?
No, just totally agreeing and want to thank everyone for throwing out some trigger warnings and some lines and veils. Always a good idea.
Yeah. I don't know. I've found that every time I do them, I don't need them, which is pretty positive. Mm-hmm. But, you know, who knows? That may not last forever, but I don't know. My records have
fallen. Yeah, it never hurts. Always good practice, right?
Yeah, let's dive right in. Should we introduce our characters, or should we or do you want to give us some details, or how do you want to play?
I think I'll give you a little bit of details, and then I'll do the classic, like, you know, you're standing outside. Anyway, so we are, like I said, in the country of Ustale, a country that has, as of 5 years ago, changed to a new imperial regime, unifying the city-states that had previously been a lot more separate. These city-states are these environmentally shielded megacities that house most of the world's surviving population. A lot of people live in the wastelands, but the city-states are, by their name, as their name suggests, the hub of civilization. You are, these city-states are now all unified as one, like, empire that a lot of people accuse of being, like, a fascist regime, and fairly so. You are in the city of Sidersburg. The city of Sidersburg is a city to the southeast of the country of Ustale. It's near the border with another rivaling nation called Inderlay that has often been at odds with its northern neighbor, and they frequently find themselves in conflict. They're currently separated by a massive border wall that is visible from the city. It's a magically raised metal wall that the most powerful Inner Legion wizards raise. Otherwise, the terrain is rather marshy, and the city is built on top of a wetland that is growing more and more endangered as the city expands. The city is also a hub of nostalgia for the Parathan Empire, the empire that ruled before the Ustalian Empire that you're currently living through. They were the empire that is credited with the mastery of scientific alchemy, the invention of the health potion that revolutionized warfare and helped them conquer the continent, and the other technologies that you take for granted today. It's known for almost being like if Colonial Williamsburg was a megacity. For those who don't know IRL, Colonial Williamsburg is like the city that like. They're trying their best to recreate the feeling of the American colonial past.
It's a giant LARP.
It is a giant societal LARP.
I'm trying to remember what the one is in Massachusetts, but there's one, and I've been to it.
Of course, there's one in Massachusetts.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I'm thinking about the one on the Plymouth Plantation.
Oh, there's that one. There's also Old Sturbridge Village is the one that I was thinking of.
Oh, yep.
We've got a lot.
The Americans are very good at cultural nostalgia for a past that didn't quite exist.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's kind of the vibe here. It's you see these great imperial granite structures that were known of the Parathan. These walkways raised over the city that aren't even really the most efficient way to travel, but like because they were how the Parathan traveled. Are the way that people get around the city. These railways that are like raised above, like it's basically a skyway. And you are in the not so great part of it today. The part where all the people who got a bit gentrified by this like nostalgic experiment got pushed out to. You're in the bad side of the city where you are currently standing outside the apartment of someone who has. Contracted you for a job. It's like a walk-up apartment, like you know, like those like two-story, three-story buildings where like you know you can either walk in, like there's balconies, you can walk in through like a little door, like sealed doorway. All the buildings in the world of Vian tend to have airlocks on them in case the city state's like shimmering shield that's over you somehow fails and like exposes you to the toxic air of the ashy air of the world. But right now everything's safe, everything's fine. You're on the street and you see there are four people. I'll leave this up to you all. Do you all want to have known each other already as like just like known operators in the city, or is this like your first time meeting?
I mean, I'm definitely known. There's no doubt about that.
I'd say I've probably developed a little bit of a reputation at this point.
All right, let's go with known.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, you're all standing outside waiting for someone to come grab you. So you can go up and get the job. This is a great time. Describe, you're standing on the stoop. What are you doing? Describe your character. If your character's pronouns are different than your pronouns, and anything else that your appearance, anything else you think is relevant. We can start, I guess, in order of the chat with Dan.
Yeah. So my character is a human. He's sort of a greasy type. Got slicked back black hair. Wearing priestly robes, but robes that look like they haven't seen a wash in a few cycles of the seasons. Sort of slouching up against the wall. Obviously thinks he's too cool for his surroundings.
Is he, though?
Hard to say. He's got a prayer book in one hand, but you notice he never opens it.
Next up, you see a very tall creature who is I think I'm saying this right, Primus Ica?
Yeah, that's perfect.
The reptilian warrior. The Primus Ica reptilian warrior. They're about 7'5", quite tall, wearing some hefty body armor, dressed in like all dark purple clothes, but their skin is more green tinged, and they've got these really cute like horns and braids in their hair. They look stiff as they're standing there.
All right. And then you've got a Sporeborn riding around in some sort of very like hominid exoskeleton. Vant is the name, they, them pronouns, and they're probably mostly thinking, just sort of standing there, like, eerily, steady, but a little bit just kind of thinking about inventions and things that they like to work on.
And just real quick for the lore, sorry, Mickey, Sporeborn are a sentient fungus that has been developed, with a weird fungal growth found in the caves on the northwest of the continent that has then been cultured and enhanced to the point that it mimics sentience. And when inhabiting a robotic shell can perform tasks and stuff to the point that in many places they are legally, they have achieved personhood. That's all I have. Awesome. Nikki?
Yeah. That was great, Robin. The last person you see is likely a contrast to the others. Remy is humanoid, also dressed in religious robes. And they are in such contrast to Dan's character. Completely white robes, not a spot on them. Notably, Remy wouldn't lean against any walls or any steps because they're dirty. And that would just be a whole thing to clean the robes later. So I'm just not going to lean on those right now. And very tense in contrast, I guess, to probably the cool air of others in the space.
So I've got two people T-posing and... sorry. That's very cool. Yes. Thank you all. Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you all. You're all standing outside. It's fall. The city-state shield, like, kind of condensed. Like, the environment within the shield is often more or less the same, but you can feel, like, a bit of a chill in the air as, like, it's getting a little bit colder. You are waiting on Dr. Swell, a infamous figure in the city. A guy about in his mid-30s who, and this is where we're going to introduce the first mechanic of the game, who has pop culture trivia.
Oh, I've got pop culture trivia.
So, me too.
Awesome. So here's the deal with trivia. Trivia is stuff that you know that doesn't quite fall into like the realm of skills. Like if you have like repair 3, you probably know about as much about like machinery that, or anything else that like a person who is trained to work with machines would know. However, there's also like abstract categories of knowledge that you can gain. That's what trivias are. Instead of like knowledge checks, it's just stuff you know. So in this case, if you have pop culture, you would know that Dr. Swell is one of the most notoriously notorious and beloved, I think is the better way of saying it, pirate radio DJs in the entire country.
Ooh.
Yes. Does anyone have criminal culture?
Yes.
Yep.
I got criminal culture. What's up?
It's almost like I ran a crime game. But yeah, criminal culture would tell you he's also one of the biggest uppers dealers in the country. Or at least in Sidersburg.
Well,
he moves a lot of drugs. So that's both things you would know about Dr. Swell. But you're waiting, and eventually another person comes out. If you scroll up, you'll see a photo of a nervous-looking white man with a bit of a slicked-up faux hawk thing posted by Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's... That is more or less who you see coming out the door. You would recognize this person in the same way that like each of you would recognize each other as like, you know, operators in the city. This is a person known as the Fizz, Dr. Swell's assistant, and also sometimes another radio DJ on the show. So that's Dr. Swell and the Fizz.
They have a great morning show.
And you see the Fizz walk on out and look around at you all. Y'all here for the job then, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yep. I'm not here for the scenery. That's what you're asking.
That's fair. I'm just like
disgusted.
No, you're totally right. I keep coming out into this stoop and like there's other people sitting here and I'm like, anyway. Awesome. Good to see y'all. I'm glad y'all made it. Let me get you upstairs. You know, the doc's waiting for you. So come on. And he waves you along with him.
I follow.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, you make it to the top of the stairs. And you're in you're at the door of this apartment, and you've noticed it's like whatever original door that like you see like normal like wooden doors on all the other like on all the other structures, or even like, you know, cheaper metal doors. This is like serious security grade stuff. It is a sealed metal door with a little buzzer on the side, and you see the Fizz press the buzzer, and the beep rings, and another voice on the other side. Yeah, what is it? Yeah, it's the Fizz. Let me in, Doc. And the lower voice on the other side. What's the password? Come on, Doc. You just let me out. Like, come on. And they go back and forth for a bit. Finally, the Fizz regurgitates some lyric from a hyper-pop song that you don't quite recognize. I would pull up a 100 Gex line here, but just insert one. And the door unseals, and you hear the loudest music you've heard in a long time just, like, blasting your ears. And the Fizz, like, motions you inside the apartment. Inside, you see it's, like, a very clearly someone has turned their apartment into a radio studio and also a drug den. Like, you don't see any space for sleeping, eating, anything. You just see radio equipment or a lot of drugs. Drugs in this world being, like, you know, very chemical, like, you know, potions and, like, glowing vials and beakers all over the place, as well as, like, a chemical lab to make things. And you see a man in goggles with a beard sitting behind a desk crooning into the radio about the latest news of an imperial imperial seizing assets in the northern part of the country. He gets off the radio and, well, glad you all finally made it.
Hey, Doc, sorry for walking in while you were live. We had no idea.
No, it's fine. I'm kind of always live, you know. The airwaves never stop on Dr. Swell. And you hear the Fizz behind you say, quietly, and the Fizz.
Give a little golf clap.
All right, well, I'm glad I could get you all here. Can I get you anything? I've got a red. You know, if you don't like punching holes in the walls, I've got some cat's grace right now. It's not my usual stuff. I usually prefer the uppers, but you know, sometimes you want a nice smoke. It's water. I think I have water here somewhere. The fizz. Where do I have water? Oh, I'll go get some. And the fizz runs off.
Oh, that's that good stuff.
Water?
Aqua. Yeah.
Legitimately, it is an offer, though. Do any of you want to, like, take a chemical to dose while you have this conversation?
Go on, Remy. It's polite. You got it.
Oh, maybe I will reach for this one to pollute my body given to me by the gods. And then Remy reaches out, like, very slowly and then very suddenly to knock 3 vials off the table.
We're off to a great start.
Oh, whoa, careful, that's some serious merchandise. Whoa, yeah.
Oh, no, I've dropped it. Oh, no.
Listen, you don't have to take it. Just don't destroy my merchandise. That's coming out of you.
I mean, accidents happen. Look, Dr. Swell, as nice as your... I assume this is a working garage. Whatever this space is, as nice as it is.
You're in, like, an apartment. No, oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, and Remy knows it's an apartment. They're just being ridiculously condescending.
Yes.
And rude. I do believe we should discuss the matter at hand, and I would like to be somewhere more to my standards as soon as possible.
Fair enough, fair enough. I can't judge a professional. I mean, that professionalism is why the fizz picked you off the list, I'm sure. Anyone else, though? Don't make me party alone.
Hey, Doc, I already said I'd have water. That's about as wild as I get.
I think Vant hasn't said anything, but is just staring at everybody with, like, silent intensity.
Yeah.
In response.
Dr. Swell looks at you. I'm not sure if anything I have works on you.
Vant shrugs.
Well, I will, I'm gonna wait to see what this job is before making a decision.
All right, y'all suit yourselves. He pulls out a vial of, like, just, like, fiery red material.
Oh boy.
Uncorks it and pours it into a medical inhaler, and takes a big puff, starts coughing wildly, and then slams his fist down on the table and begins giving, like, the most Alex Jonesy rant you've seen into the mic that you've, like, seen in a bit. Like, just, like, not that Alex Jones exists in the world of Vian, but, like, if Alex Jones was more, like, a leftist Alex Jones, it would be how I describe this rant that you're listening to. Right. And he's on air while you just sit there. Like, he has stopped the music and is just giving his, like, all on this microphone. Then he turns off the microphone, looks at you. All right, that's better. So, I got a job for you. What do you know about Compound J? And this would be a good time for trivia food or trivia law.
I got trivia law.
I got trivia food. I also have food.
And I got law.
Trivia, okay. trivia food would tell you that Compound J is like it's a mineral substance that is often used as a seasoning when not activated. Law would tell you when activated. I guess criminal culture would also tell you when activated. It is a powerful controlled substance that is often used in things like the red, like you just saw him take.
How do you activate it?
Long chemical, like treatment process, you know, like the sort of laboratory that, like, you see over on the other side of the swells. Listen, so you know how the Imperials, they're fucking around everywhere these days?
Oh, everywhere. It's impossible to get away from them.
Right. That's what I'm fucking saying. Anyway, so since they took over, it's been really hard to get stuff over the border. They are absolutely cracking down on any travel from Inerle, even coming through Sreed, the country to the west of Ostale, if you have trivia geography. But that's not even a trivia thing. That's, like, you would know that. you know, this compound, this is my livelihood. This is the stuff that, like, you know, keeps me in business. However, I've been seeing it just getting hard, drying up and drying up. My sources can't get through the border anymore, so I am without, you know, the thing I need. So there's two options. One, find a way to get across the border, or find more Compound J. The good news is I found more Compound J.
Great. I'm real happy for you, Doc.
So do you need us to do something?
Yeah. That's why I'm bringing you here. He takes another puff of the red, shudders, and screams just kind of like randomly. For like a long term, just like an ah. And then he looks at you. All right, yeah. So what I need you to do, the catch, it's on a fucking train. The problem with the train, y'all know flash tracks? This would be trivia transit.
Oh yeah, I also know that.
See, this is the benefit of the trivia system, is that generally speaking, with like four people, you'll cover most of the topics you need. So trivia transit would get you. And it, generally speaking, you would know that they're like a very fast form of train. Trivia transit would tell you that they're a magical form of train that is powered by a like human wizard battery that propels them to near sonic speed. So you can basically cross the entire like subcontinental country of Austell in like 10 minutes. So there's a bunch of fucking Compound J. It's on a fucking train. This tone I'm using is the tone he's using. He's like fucking wired right now. It's on this fucking train. I don't care how you get it. I just need you to get it off the train, and get it back to me. I'll give you 5K down and 5K down for the entire party. He wouldn't say for the entire party, but like 5K down for the 5K down for all of you to get some supplies, and 10K for each of you individually when you bring the fucking thing back. All right.
It's a fair price.
It's leaving from this station. And it's going to be heading to Northport Station. You got about 10 minutes at full speed, if my math is right, to stop the train.
Like, from now?
Look, I may not approve of your living conditions, Doctor, but nor the choices you make for the body given to you by the gods, but they're your choices to make, and I believe the Mistress of Shadows would like me to keep choices open for the public. That way, the populace can prove their faith. Yes, I will take on this mission.
Excellent. And to answer your question, Em, what I meant was that when the train does leave with the compound, if it goes at full speed uninterrupted, it'll take about 10 minutes. So you're pulling off this space in 10 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. I think Vant raises one hand.
Yeah. Ah. What can I do for you?
If one of them dies, can I have their money?
Ha! Listen, I know a lot of people find the whole like fungus robot thing creepy, but let me tell you, y'all are the backbone of society. Yeah, sure, split it however you want. I don't really care what you do with the money I give you. I just need my fucking drugs.
Perverse incentive. Keep an eye on the kingdom of fungus over here.
The problem being, yeah, before or after, there's like two heavily... It's going to be on heavily armored convoys the entire time. This is the least security it's going to have. You can try hitting one of the convoys, and, you know, best of luck. I can't give you enough firepower to crack an Imperial convoy.
That's fair.
What other information can you provide us with? Do you have any of the details of the train itself? Do you have any blueprints?
Fair point. He turns on the microphone. Listen, all, I'm going to play the best hits of the Hyperska jazz band that y'all... I had a name for a band. Anyway.
I got to tell you, my next RPG character is going to be named Hyperska Jazz Band.
But he turns on like a very loud song, and just one song on loop. It's not an album, it's just the one song on loop. And I'll be right back. And he steps away. All right. So, follow me. He rolls out the, he rolls out the schematics of the train. So this is the best thing I could get on one of them. I got the fizz grab this for me. Around this time, the fizz is coming back with water.
Nice.
Would you say it's fizzy water?
It is. And he's glad you noticed.
Gross.
Yeah, I mean, like, so here's the thing. They call me the Fizz because I used to carbonate all my potions, but then it turns out you can't carbonate the injectables. So I just, like, have this little machine that carbonates water now.
Well, that's a common misconception. Like, you can carbonate the injectables. You can even use the carbonated injectables. You just can't use them more than once.
Oh, I understand. That was very funny.
See, you're not so bad.
He passes around the water to those who want it, and you're all standing around the thing. You see on the table, does anyone have trivia machines?
Yes.
All right. Trivia machines, you can... So you all see like a bubble around the train. You, as the person with trivia machines, understand this to be like the force field that's like... It's kind of 40K or Star Trek like warping the train. Hmm. It's like changing the physical material aspects of the train so that it goes faster. The thing about the force field, and you would know this with machines, and I think anyone who with like magic training would also know this, anything that touches that force field while it's active, so like while the train is like at sonic speed, is going to get vaporized. So you could disable that by removing the battery, which removing the wizard plugged into the machine. That would be in the front of the train. Behind the front of the train is the passenger section, which will have like a normal amount of guards. And behind that is the cargo section, which will have the compound that you're looking for. You can't, as Swell points out, you can't just like take the compound off the train, at least at full speed. If you like, you did it at like the station or something, you might have a better chance, but the stations are all heavily guarded. And as the final bit of information for you, and when you're all ready, meet me at Wanderer. Well, not me, probably the Fizz. Meet the Fizz at Wanderer's Refuge. It's a little wasteland settlement, a few hours away from where you should be. The route you should be stopping on. Well, a few hours if you drive, longer if you walk.
Wait a second. Could I get a clarification on something here, Doc?
Go ahead.
How far apart are these two endpoints?
So you're gonna be stopping at a. You're gonna be starting here, and you're gonna be starting here. He points to a country. Stale. Just imagine, like, I don't have the map up right now, but imagine like the southernmost point of the country. Approaching the northernmost point of the country.
Okay.
And the meeting point's like in the central area of the country.
Now, why exactly are we meeting as far as possible from either terminal?
I mean, listen, this is some pretty fucking hot stuff. Do you want me to... Do you want to try to get it through security, or would you rather just go somewhere where no one cares if a bunch of fucking Compound J gets me?
Oh, perhaps I misunderstood, Doc. Forgive me. You mean, once we have the stuff, meet at Wanderer's Refuge.
Yes, that's... I think Robin... I think Robin is... that's the meetup, like, with the stuff at the end of the job. That's where you get paid.
Okay, no problem.
The rendezvous.
All right.
Any other questions for Dr. Swell or the Fizz? They drop a huge fucking wallet of green money. It's like, okay, I guess our money's green. They drop a substantial purse of green crystal coins, which are standard Estelian money. This sack alone would pay like 2 months of one of your rents.
All right.
And that's your supply deposit. That's the 5K.
Hmm.
Do we want to split it up, or I can hold on to the whole wad for our group? What are we thinking?
What supplies do we require?
Well, before we leave here, I want to ask the doc. Doc Swell, in the absence of any intervention by our little team here, what would happen to this Compound J? Where is it supposed to be going?
Good question. I appreciate a priest of the, he looks around. Which god do you do you have any obvious, like, symbol of a god on you?
Nover.
Yeah, Nover, always seeking knowledge, right? Yeah, I really appreciate that about y'all. He takes another hit, and coughs, and I'm pretty sure I can't quite place where it's going. I'm not even sure who owns it. It's being guarded by Imperials, but it doesn't seem the Imperials don't deal in, like, either food or drugs. Well, I mean, the Food and Drug Administration, I guess. Anyway, but they don't normally just transport a bunch of fucking potentially controlled substances just across the country. My best bet is it's heading towards Okavond and going to end up being resupplied there. Okavond being one of the northernmost city-states. Geography, yep. That's common knowledge. That's like any, you know, that's knowing like a state in the U.S. God forbid, even Zio Point, which criminal culture.
Zio Point, you would know Zio Point. Any of you would know Zio Point as like, you know, the
one of the most like, you know, the northernmost city state in the country. But also, criminal culture would let you know that it's like the. It's basically an anarchist city. It's where a lot of it's where smugglers go to shop and sell.
Cool.
So are we stealing from someone else who's smuggling? I don't know. But all I know is it's a bunch of fucking Compound J. So get me. Hey, Graham, sorry, I didn't check if I could swear before this podcast started, so.
No, you're good. You're good. Vant has been holding a glass of water the entire time and just kind of like with their other hand opens like a port on the top of their like thing and just dumps the entire glass of water and hands it back to the Fizz.
The Fizz smiles and tries to not look.
I love to see it.
Any other questions for Swell or the Fizz before you depart, or you can hang out here and do more drugs or do more water, I guess.
What's the volume we're moving?
I'm expecting, well, honestly, as much of it as you can get would be great, but I'm expecting about, like, 3 crates worth. When I say crate, he points to, like, a box on the side of the room that looks like a fully grown human would... It would take 2 fully grown humans to carry 1 crate, or 1 really strong one.
Okay.
So 3 of those. Yeah.
I've got more of a general sort of knowledge slash plan question that I think Vant would know or not know. I've got this ability, Null, where I can... the Sporeborn's lack of innate magical ability can be harnessed into a potent anti-magic force. Could I use that to disrupt the force field when the moment comes?
I as Robin GM, I... have never seen that done before. That's really fucking cool. Well done. yeah, I don't think it would stop the force field. I think you would be able to pass through. I think you could pass through without getting vaporized.
Okay, cool. Good to know.
Yeah.
Well, team, shall we maybe reconvene to plan out this little caper?
Yeah, if you want a place to like sit and talk, there's a Hungry Wren's around the corner.
Sure.
Go there, I could use some food.
I'm sure you and the Fizz don't need to hear the nuts and bolts of our scheme.
Yeah. So, do we want to advance scenes then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You all leave the apartment and you head to Hungry Wren's, which is like fantasy future Denny's. The icon above the icon above the chain diner is a large black creature, like fuzzy black creature, kind of like one of the monsters from Attack the Block, holding a spoon high in the air and roaring with a chef's hat on, like they're wearing a chef's hat.
Fun fact, that is also who prepares the food at Denny's.
I was about to say, is it too late to change my character?
species that is not currently playable, but might be an expansion.
Yes.
So you're at Hungry Wren's, and you're seated by an Elic waiter, who gets you all your food. We won't. I usually do the ordering thing, but we are a little bit. Yeah, we only have a few hours. So I'm gonna shut the fuck up and let y'all plan. I'm here to answer questions.
I order a burger. And I jab my my prayer book at Remy. I'm going to say, all right, well, first of all, I haven't introduced myself. My name is Oscar, and I'm a man of the cloth, as you can see. But I'm not exactly used to seeing my holy siblings look quite as clean as that when they're in the
on the shadier side of things. So my question for you, Remy, is, well, first of all, are you a cop? Second of all, what exactly are you doing in this Hungry Wren's planning to liberate some merchandise? You look like you should be scrubbing the floor in a church or, I don't know, petting an orphan on the head. What's your story?
Remy goes ahead and rips off a piece of the newspaper they put down before sitting, rips a piece of it off, and then just, like, pushes it, like, pushes the prayer book that Oscar had poked them with, just, like, pushing it away slightly, and then doing that, like, kind of mannerism, trying to clean off the hands, even though they touch nothing. You know, I did grow up in the cloth, and I do know that most of my holy siblings look more like you. Looks you up and down, taking careful note of each stain. I believe in the freedom of choice, so we may all prove our worthiness, and perhaps the gods will return to us if we continue to make the most holy choices. The only way to show our true faith is to be tested. Therefore, I believe in the free expression of all eventualities. And just because I do not poison my body doesn't mean I don't partake in some of the less legal aspects of our city living. Does that answer your questions?
Absolutely not. But I'll buy it. Hijacking up drugs and the Immortal Council will return? That's the best idea I've heard in a while.
I have done great meditating on this matter and do not appreciate your sarcasm. It is a plan.
Nobody does.
Hey, will work.
When I open my monastery out in the wasteland, come by and visit. We'll get the council back. You'll see.
Oh, I'm afraid we might. And then, like, Remy's tea arrives. It's just hot, like, liquid. And that's all they ordered.
Yeah, it tastes synthetic because real tea leaves are hard to come by.
Fair. Okay, now what about you? You definitely don't look like you could go incognito with your purple robes. I imagine you're good at distraction. Would that be a good guess?
Ooh, are me? You?
Oh, you're both wearing purple robes. I was talking to M's character.
Okay.
Oh, there's Oscar of also wearing purple? Are we like with a purple crew?
I actually don't remember what color these robes used to be. They're sort of street colored now.
It would be a stretch to call them purple.
There could be purple under there. You don't know.
I guess you are right. Only the gods do.
Well, yeah, you could say I'm good at distracting. And you must know me. My name is very well known as Eitan. I'm quite good at close combat and getting rid of people that need getting rid of, so...
Eitan, I have heard your name. I, too, enjoy a friendly or not-so-friendly spar now and then, and your name has definitely circulated some of the rings of excellence that I attend.
Of course, of course.
Pleasure to meet you. I hear great things.
The pleasure, I'm sure, is yours.
Oh, shit!
So, we're basically doing a train heist to get some Compound J. Who has thoughts? Where should we start?
Well, hold up a minute. We've heard from everyone except Mycelium buddy over here.
Oh, yes.
What did you sell him?
What brings you in here, gory friend?
Vant just kind of turns that, like, very silent intensity in your direction and then goes, "I want to retire." And kind of leaves it at that.
That's the best answer we've gotten out of any of you. Okay.
Just if the backstory is interesting, and this might be something that people have heard, I guess, but what I've written up is that Vant is what's known as a freelance repair canary, which is basically, because you cannot kill them in any way that matters, they're the ones that go into, like, repair heavy machinery. And if they die, then the company just writes it off as a loss. But if they are able to get it working again, then they get paid fairly well. And they just kind of hate their job and want to retire.
Aww.
The metaphor for life.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So, of course, they turn to crime.
Yeah. So let's lay it all out. The goods are being transported by a military convoy, which we cannot defeat. They will then be loaded onto a train surrounded by an impenetrable force field, which only one of us can get through. They will travel for 10 minutes and be unloaded by another military convoy, which we cannot defeat. Where do we slip in here?
In transit, do you think we can get on and somehow...
My first thought is, what if we're already on?
Yes.
My instinct is, if they kill us as soon as they realize we're trying to steal the stuff, they never realize we're trying to steal the stuff. Any way we could do a swap-out job, you know, switch it for an inert substitute, they won't notice until it's time to try and use it.
This seems acceptable.
Any of
it's
you
better than my, it was better than the plan I had, which was basically to just try and jump in through the force field.
Oh, I think that's still very much in play.
Yeah, I want to see you do that. Give you half my share to see you do that. But for the rest of us, may not work so well.
Hmm.
Do any of us have any contacts in the merchant world?
I mean, I think like many of you, we all seem to have similar knowledge of criminal culture and individuals we might be able to contact.
Specifically, yeah. Does anyone have I know a guy, which is like a trait?
No.
That's fine. Just possible useful.
No one took the underworld. Oh boy.
No. Well, I've done a few jobs for some merchants, but not sure how well that helps. Connector.
What I'm thinking is we get a shipment of our own onto that train, but the shipment is actually us in the crates.
Oh.
Then once we're on the train, in the luggage car, we unload ourselves, we break open the Compound J, load it into the crates that we got out of, replace it with conjured material. We got two mages. We can manipulate some creation there, make some stuff that weighs about the same, maybe is the same color. And there you have it. The military convoy will unload the fake stuff. Our boys on the other end will unload the real stuff. And the problem is, what happens to us? We'll be standing there in the luggage car like a bunch of schlamazels.
I could be the one to bring you all aboard. I am very convincing, I think, as an individual traveling for good, quote unquote, and the air quotes come up.
True. Who could be our sponsor, the one who's shipping things?
Yes, I believe I could.
Okay, so that would put you probably in the passenger car. You wouldn't be loaded up with the rest of us.
No, I could find my way back, however.
Do we expect that there will be any guards in the luggage car?
I am counting on it.
This may have been a question to have asked the doctor.
And I could just say that you asked the doctor. because I had that written down. You don't have exact numbers, but you know, you expect like medium security on each of the carts. So like two or so guards, a car, maybe more, but that you'd expect like, you know, like two or so. And that's like for entire sections. So like each of these being like, you know, the cargo section being like a few cars and like the passenger section being a few cars, and the control is just one car. But
okay,
Vince, I think we've got our ticket out of here.
Dresses the guards.
A group of guards is going to walk onto that train car, and a group of guards is going to walk off of that train car. Now, if only there were a convenient way to get rid of bodies. For example, a force field into which they could be thrown and instantly disintegrated.
Oh, that's very good.
That is quite convenient.
I was really hoping someone would notice that.
That is better than my plan, which was to just put them back in the boxes that we were stealing out of.
I like that plan too.
That could work too, with the issue that someone might think to like check inside, or they might not weigh the same.
Mm.
When life gives you disintegrating force fields, come on. So, obviously, the sketched out plan could go sideways at any point. But as I see it, the weakest part is at the end. The cargo will be fine, but someone may recognize that we're not really the guards. They may have passphrases or, I don't know, photo IDs. This is the technology of the future, after all. I'm open to any sort of idea pitches on this front.
Well, I think something that does come to mind a little, it's also related to our exit plan here, is the cargo will be heavy. We're going to need a ride to move the cargo from the train to the next location as well.
Sure. Yeah. It won't have to be, we don't need a getaway car or anything because it'll seem perfectly legitimate, but we do need transport.
Exactly.
We'll need something on this end too to load it onto the train. Mm. Gotta look convincing, high class.
Could we transport a vehicle that contains our cargo and just swap the cargo?
Oh, that's very good.
Oh, like a fancy car.
If anyone asks, we are moving.
Maybe you're not because you're in a box, but I am moving.
Yes.
I could say I am moving equipment for the rectory. It's very plausible that that would need to occur.
How much are cars?
I mean, we could just borrow one for a bit.
How much are cars? Great question. I actually have that written.
You know, Remy, maybe you're not so bad.
It's the will of the gods.
Amen. Amen.
So a rental car is 10 an hour, but those aren't supposed to leave the city, and you would probably get in trouble like yoinking them. Yeah, so normally a car is 500,000 standard Decelia. I might lower that a bit. So let's say 250,000.
Hmm. Okay. They are expensive. Theft is a better option.
It is a flying car.
Yeah, is there anything like, you know how on Earth you can like rent a Ferrari for a day to impress a date or something? Anything like that where we could take it out for a spin and then load it onto a train?
Yeah, like I said, there are rental skimmers. You can rent a flying car. I said for 10 an hour, but I think if you want to leave the city limits, it would be like 25 an hour or something. Or like, you know, by per day rate, maybe like 250 a day.
Isn't the in city limits though?
I mean, yeah, they don't know what you're going to do with it.
Hmm. But they probably have a GPS of some sort.
Yeah, but
although I could conceivably disconnect that. Yeah.
The secret ingredient is always crime for every step.
I do believe you have a point.
And if we don't want to spend money, is like test driving cars a thing in this world? Like, could we take a test drive of said flying car and, oh, the person who's with us has an accident and is in the trunk now, and then we take the car?
It's doable. I could see you if you made a proper persuasion roll, because like they would probably want to go with you.
Oh, this is great. You know, I think the only person they would reasonably rent give a test drive to is probably Remy. But, you know, it's not your fault, Remy, if some greasy carjackers were to jump out and mug you while you were on that test drive. Now, would it?
Oh, no. Whatever would I do?
You may not believe it, but I do a mean greasy carjacker impression.
It is a stretch, but I could see it happening.
I do really like that our plan so far is basically like go down to the Toyota dealership, test drive a car, steal it, and then put it on a train. Please. To steal stuff from that train.
Please, don't think so low of us. We're going to the Mercedes dealership.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
if, my apologies.
If we will travel, we're traveling in style.
I don't put a Camry on a train.
Okay, well, I say we get to it. Are there any other arrangements we must make before continuing on?
I had another... Oh, sorry, I was going to say, I've got an idea for one thing that I can do for replacing the thing. Because sure. I can use my workbench to put a spell that was in the book that I saw lost the name of. It was the one that just, like, makes material.
Manipulate creation.
Manipulate creation.
That's the one. Yeah, can I make, like, a manipulate creation grenade that'll basically just make a heavy box?
Yeah, that is a perfectly great use of that trait. Let me pull that up.
I think... We two mages could try that, but there's always the chance that our brains will liquefy. So I'm open to alternatives.
It'll give us some options.
That'll be a target number five.
Is that what happened to you, Oscar?
Wow, they are brutal.
Listen, let bygones be bygones.
That is harsh. Yeah. So
target number five, wits check when you're ready. I mean, that's presuming that you're still at like hungry wrens.
Yeah. I figure that is a step that I would take somewhere between the 2 points.
Are we about to have the first skill roll of the game?
Woo!
Yeah, it's more of a quality roll, but
yeah.
Go ahead and just so in this case, it's going to be a single wits die.
Yeah, I forgot to upgrade two of the die on my actual paper character sheet. That would be a problem.
But I'm presuming you know what skill is on.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going with... So I've got a D10 in wits.
So a solid 50% chance.
All right. That is a 5.
So with a 5, you successfully create the device.
Yes.
With no risk of frying your brain like a normal spell. You create a perfect copy of a... basically, you create a grenade that will unfold into a box.
Wow.
Box. Grenade. Wow. Is now what's on my inventory.
Circle becomes square.
Yes.
So,
all right,
Remy, we need a vehicle with sufficient cargo space to put this stuff in.
Very good. That can be arranged. I think you all, maybe the carjackers, also have a box that can fit 1, 2, 3 individuals. So if you could, I shall procure the vehicle, and then the carjackers should also maybe procure a box.
An empty box?
Right, because am I right in believing you all will be in an empty box in my Mercedes?
Right.
That we then are switching.
Yes.
I was thinking we get a box each, but I mean, if you want to share.
Hey, fantasy Mercedes.
A fantasy Mercedes.
A Mercedes.
Mercedes. A Mercedes.
This podcast sponsored by Mercedes-Benz.
Actually, big announcement. No, I'm kidding.
Before we split up to do anything, we should coordinate, we three carjackers and Remy, where and when the carjacking is going to take place. Where are you going to drive your test drive for us to jump out and carjack?
Sure, sure. You remember when Their Holiness visited last month and we went to the small church down on 5th?
Yeah.
We could meet there. I will drive by the corner. It's close to the dealership.
There's a dark alley you could go down. Sure.
Of course, yes.
Great. So we can just, and we can set an arbitrary time that we both know too.
Mm-hmm. After yes. Morning prayer.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
As everybody gets up, are we on the verge of leaving?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. As everybody gets up, Vant does the same thing that they did with the water, but with all the leftovers that are on the table, just dumps them into their head.
Can you save those, or are you, like, processing them?
Both.
Oh, so you have snacks for later.
Reach in, pull out, like, I don't know, half a hot dog and offer it to you.
Some people have all the luck in life.
It's covered in a fine fungal slime.
Mm.
As I say, all the luck.
It smells like truffles.
Oh, well, maybe later.
It may not taste like truffles.
Yeah.
Edibles foreborn when.
All right, so with that, I mean, pretty much, so for me on my sheet, we are in the prep phase where you all just do whatever the fuck you want. One consideration is that when the train is in motion, all the guards and service workers are going to be wearing like Zelda magnetic boots. Which is something you would know with Trivia Transit.
Yes, I probably communicated that to everybody and said, get your own boots.
You could get a pair for 500. Or you can get those pairs from the lockers there. Like, yeah, you know, they probably have some.
We have enough in the communal pot to get to just buy boots for everyone.
Yeah, we got the 5 grand.
2K, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So if we spend 2K on boots, that's fine.
Yeah.
When you wear them, your movement speed is halved. Rounding down. So 7, 7, 8.
But I presume if we don't wear them while the train is in motion, worse things would happen.
I mean, depends on how you feel about concussions.
Ah, yes.
What are concussions?
Warm familiarity. Hey, don't worry about it, kid. All right.
You cannot concuss me in a way that matters. All right, so we got 3 grand. Oh, sorry.
Yes. What are we going to spend the rest of our prep money on? Presumably we got to pay something to ship this car.
Yes.
Make a reservation.
I imagine that will take up a hefty sum.
Right. Hang on. I actually have a services section.
Huh.
Yeah, that one of the emphases of 0.8 or 0.7, I forget how these versions of the game I make work. I just know what the game is now. Transit, flash track, which is what this is. It's 250 for a ticket for a person. So I'm going to say it's 1,000 for cargo passage. I'm going to say 1,250 because it's an oversized car. Like, it's not
anything
to move.
Okay. Very well.
So that's 1,500 for transit. That leaves us with 1,500 to spend. Because I can do math.
Got it. Well, do we need any additional pins for taking on the guards? I'm better at close combat.
I feel maybe we should invest in some backup guard uniform pieces in case they should be damaged by being shot full of holes.
Excellent point.
Go to like Halloween City and just get a guard costume.
Yeah, I would give all of that to you for 250. And you could negotiate that down or even just steal it. Like, I'm just like, it's 4 guard uniforms for like the whole party. Nah, 200. 50 a pop.
Okay. That sounds good.
I was just envisioning a scenario where like Eitan grabs a guard and hurls their entire body into the force field and they're disintegrated along with their uniform, and then someone has to be the naked guard.
It might happen. It's very true.
So at least we'll have backups. And hey, if we're wearing the uniforms when we pop out, it might give us a chance to get the drop on them if they're confused for a few seconds even.
Haha, we're the backup.
I mean, I can take people out. I also am good at close combat, but I do have this, and then, like, opening the white robe, you just see it's all very, like, Romeo and Juliet with Claire Danes, like, like Mercutio's pistol with the cross on it. It's, like,
nice.
Close to their chest.
It's so anime.
It's so anime.
I love it.
Nuns in anime be like.
I respect that. It's high class. Obviously good production value there. I go for the more traditional DIY option, and Oscar opens his prayer book and there's just a carved out hole in the middle with a pistol in it.
Oh, that actually is quite clever. I enjoy that.
It's the same general idea, but I think it was probably a lot cheaper.
Yes, this did cost me quite a bit. You're not wrong.
And I snapped the prayer book shut.
And I guess wouldn't be a cross on the gun. It would probably be the symbol of the deity that they follow. I'm not sure what that symbol would be. Do you have it, or should I make one up, Robin?
The symbol of Alice?
Of the Mistress of Shadows.
Yeah, Alice. That's Alice. There for sure is one, but there can be like multiple symbols for a god. Like these are like ubiquitous people who exist in the world.
Right. Well, maybe it would be just that. It would be like I'm imagining like a circle on one side that's light, like just the outline, yeah. And then a shaded in circle immediately below it.
The iconography of a rat is often used.
Ooh, perfect. Yeah. Okay. So we'll do that with a rat. So kind of a light rat and then a darker one.
Light rat.
Speaking of like weapons and things, I need a refill on some ammunition. So I'm gonna go try and seek that out before our rendezvous.
Could I ask you to also pick me up some for my weapon?
Sure. I'm gonna get myself 5 rounds of electric ammunition, I think, if that's okay. I know it's restricted.
Basically, restricted weaponry you can generally get if you're either willing to use a fake ID or give away your name.
Oh, perfect. I obviously have a fake ID on me. But yes, also, most people know me.
Get me 5 incendiary rounds, I would most appreciate.
Yeah, they roll. You're going to roll lie to pass off a fake ID. So, congratulations, this is actually the skill roll.
Woo! I don't think I'm good at lying, but let's try it.
So you roll as many dice as ranks you have in that skill. So if you don't have any ranks at all, you're rank 1, which means you roll 1 die. It's 1 spirit die.
All right, and I have a d10 for that.
And it's going to be opposed a little better by a roll from them.
Okay, I'm going to roll. Oh, 3.
7. They,
Yeah.
All right. We'll take it. 5. Yeah, that's 5 incendiary rounds. Do you have the cost up on that, or
I bought 5 electric, and I had 500 standard on me, and they're 100 around. So I just spent all my personal money. And it says incendiary are 200 around. So I'm either taking from the pot, or I'm
Remy with Remy Gate Ash, and I imagine had an idea how much they cost because they already had one in their inventory.
Okay, they're 200 around. So if you're getting 5, it's 1,000.
Business expense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, ammunition purchased.
Yeah. Right. Anything else y'all want to purchase while you're prepping, or? Tomorrow at like 3 p.m. the train leaves. So you've got some time to rest and like get ready for the job.
I assume that's when I make my box grenade.
Yeah.
And do this carjacking.
Oh.
Yeah, we still gotta jack a car.
Yeah. Do you do that like 2 p.m. or?
Yeah, we don't want to give them time to put out an APB.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's go straight from stealing one thing to stealing a different thing.
So,
have we...
Go ahead, sorry.
Have we registered the shipping? We've already got our cargo ticket.
Yeah, we can say you buy all that. Yeah. You spent the money on your sheath already. What name are you putting it under?
I am putting it under Their Holiness Sebastian III.
Is it your boss?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Very nice.
In a very loose sense. Remy doesn't view anyone as their boss.
Yeah. One of the, you write down one of the names of like high clerks or something, like one of the higher priests in the order.
Yeah, and like one from like a town over that kind of like pissed me off at the last holy convention. Cut me off.
Brilliant.
All right, friends, thanks for listening. That was Era of Silence, featuring me, Graham, M and Mickey from The Role Less Taken, and Dan and Robin from Shrike Tabletop. Check out the show notes for more information on Era of Silence, as well as a link that will take you straight to the Kickstarter so you can back this right now. And you should do that right now. As I said up top, we will be back with more episodes of Campfire at the beginning of December. Bye.